Assassin number 30,009, Mr. Fred Brett, Real Five. Now, when you got into No Man's Land, you know, besides the time when you were slightly wounded, but what would you be doing? Do you see what I mean? What exactly would you do when you got out there?
Well, sometimes you're on fighting patrol, and you'd be looking for the enemy. And I used to carry a Bren, 12 spare magazines, one on the Bren, which was 13, 6 phosphorus grenades, 6 ordinary grenades, 2 bandoliers, and I'd carry them all night.
Now, what would you do? I mean, would you just patrol around, or would you set ambushes, or what would you do?
We'd walk, and we'd stop every so often, and have a little look round, and carry on again, and look round, and if we met the enemy, we'd engage.
Do you remember any clashes in No Man's Land?
Oh yes, once or twice we did, but nothing really too big. They absconded straight away, more or less. The enemy must have been on listening patrol or something like that, and they couldn't match a force of ours, about 15 men.
Did you set ambushes? Can you tell us a bit, or did you not?
No.
Anything else about Wally? How long would you stay out for?
I suppose we'd go out somewhere around about 10 o'clock at night and come in at first light.
Which would be normal, whatever time it was at that
time. Yeah, whatever time it was at that time of year.
And how close to the Chinese North Korean lines would you get?
Oh, quite close at times. Quite close. Yeah, I suppose, you know. I suppose you must have been 500 yards. 400, something like that at times. All depends which officer's with you and how far you want to go.
And then you just come back the same way, pass through the lines.
Yeah, come back through the lines. And there's always somebody up there made tea for you when you came in. There's always a big bucket of tea for you.
Was that a debriefing process, or was it just the officer and NCO do that?
The NCO, officers and NCOs had a little briefing, that was all, and away you went. When you came back in, you made a bit of a report.
Now, anything else you remember about, because when you went in, you're in the Kuang Sao area, the hills, 327, I think it is, I've always forgotten which number it is.
327.
You moved into that area. Was there anything else you remember happening there before you moved down to Samichong?
Yeah, I think that was when one of the patrols got shot up, and that was Bob Guest on that one.
I think that's a bit later. That's the second time round at Kuang Sao, yeah.
Was it?
I think that's in May. So that's after.
Yeah.
Anything else you remember?
Not on that hill particularly. It was the same routine near enough all the time we was on there.
So what about the move to Samichong? That's a river area. It's a different area, you know.
Oh yes, down there with the river and that. Yeah.
What was it like, Anna? Can you describe the terrain down there?
I know. I remember we went down with Arthur Carter was one, myself and Omer, and we went swimming. And somebody came along and said, "I wouldn't swim in there." And we said, "Why not?" And they said, "Well, round the corner, there's half a dozen dead bodies in there." And we went there to look, and there was. And we've been swimming in it.
So what was the setup? I mean, you were one side of the valley, they were the other side. What was it like?
Well, yes, it was the other side of the valley to us. You could see your enemy's positions, same as they could see ours. And it don't never much happened during the day. Nearly always in the night, if they started to fire on you, never during the day, always at night. Yes, there wasn't much went on during the day, I mean.
What were your positions like in the Samichong? Were they the same sort of bunkers and trenches?
Oh yes, same holes, yeah, dig holes to live in. That's all we done, lived in holes in the ground. Yeah, wherever we was, everywhere we dug a hole to live in.
Now you were there over Christmas, over the winter, weren't you? What was it like? Did it get worse, the cold, or...?
Yes, it was very cold, but Christmas, I remember seeing the new year in, As I say,
now tell me that story, because you told me off tape.
Yeah, when we caught Fairbrass, had got two bottles of gin. I don't know where he managed to get them from, but we decided that we'd see the new year in. So we said we'd do the midnight stand turn. So we done it, and we had a bottle of gin each. We drank a bottle each, and we done the guard all through the night. Never woke anybody else up. And I haven't touched gin since. I've never touched it since, and I never wish to.
How bad were you next day?
Pretty bad. Pretty bad. I know we weren't too clever, but we got through the day as usual. Yeah. Yes, I've never touched gin since.
What was it like patrolling the Samichon area, or was it just the same?
Always the same. Patrols were all the same. Never altered, really. Yeah, just about the same.
Anything you remember from being in there? Because you were there a fair while, weren't you? I think late November till about March. I'm not quite sure of the date.
It was a long time we were there. Yes.
Anything happened while you were there that you remember?
I told you about Smudger, didn't I? When we was going out on patrol and he killed one of the boys who had come up in the line.
That was there, was it?
Yeah.
Any other things you remember?
Not as I can really say, you know, it was always the same, more or less. Whatever we done, you know, done a bit more wiring and just the same routine, you know, all through the time. And when it got time for people to go home, or for their demob, we used to have a party every night once a month when it was time for them to go, we'd have a party up on the hill.
And is that when you moved back up to the hill?
Yeah.
Okay. So you moved back there.
Yeah.
So in a way, you don't remember the Samichon bit as well.
Well, it was all just routine, really. I mean, we had patrols out there, and some had got shot. I mean, I can remember, you know, we killed one bloke and we brought him in, laid down outside our dugout. And I went in.
What happened? I mean, what?
Well, we was on fighting patrol, and we killed this gook, Chinese.
How did we capture him? Kill him. I mean, what happened?
Well, we had a little skirmish. I think it must have been one of their listing patrols or something like that. And someone was open fired, so we don't know really who killed him, but we fetched him back. Because the others absconded, we couldn't catch them, and laid him down outside. And when I went to take my gear off and go in and make a report with the officer, somebody had pinched his slippers he had on. Yeah, that was, somebody had even pinched them, and I thought, well, I don't know, it wouldn't have fitted me anyway.
Anything else about the Samichon before we go back to the hills?
No, I don't think so. Not really.
Back to the hills.
Yeah.
And did you go back up to Hill 327?
On the bottom of it, yeah. Right on top of 327, yeah. I was thinking of 355, yeah. Yes, we was on that. Yeah.
Were you in the same area, or did you move slightly?
Move slightly, yeah. Wasn't quite the same area. Yeah, we moved slightly. Now, yeah.
It's there that there's this patrol where Bob Guest gets with you. Now, tell me that story.
They went out on patrol and they told us that the patrol didn't come back, and in the morning they told us didn't come back, volunteers to go out and look for them. So I volunteered to go and look, and we got to the position where they're supposed to go to, and we got mortared, and we lost two blokes there with a mortar fire. And later, when I met Bob afterwards, he said if we'd have gone another quarter of a mile, that we would have found them. They hadn't been captured then. They were still hiding, and we would have got them.
But how bad was the mortar fire?
Not all that bad, really. I suppose perhaps about two dozen, I suppose, you know. Mortars come over and dropped And one was, I think, Corporal Smith was killed. And I can't think of the name of the other one. I think we lost two. And I can remember that me and Homer was there. He was on the volunteered. And one of the mortar shells dropped and we got covered in dirt. And Homer said, where was that? And I said, just here. And he's saying, where? And I said, just here. I could even put my hand in the hole where it landed. And the blast had all gone over us. And we were unscathed completely. Couldn't believe it.
Did you see it? You see, you saw no signs of the patrol?
No signs of it at all.
Did Captain Letter Tal go out with you? Do you remember?
Oh, I can't remember if it was Tal or Anderson. I can't remember which one came out with us.
But an officer was
with us. Yeah, an officer
came with us. You were looking for Bob Guest's patrol, which is Wormald's patrol, and we'll put the date in the catalogue.
Yeah.
And anything else happened? Were you fired at for anything else, or was it just mortars?
No, just mortars. And when we couldn't find them, and after this mortar attack, we went back to our own hill. Couldn't find them. And then later on in life, we found out they'd been captured.
Now, the other thing, you mentioned the demob parties. What were they like?
Oh, that was quite fun, they was, because you'd get beer off the nappy and you'd sit on top of the hill and have a sing-song to say the others was going. And if you was the last one up there, you won the prize, a bottle of beer. And that was quite funny. Yes, I have quite a few sing-songs on top of the hill, waiting.
Anything else? Any memorable patrols you went on, or is that the most memorable, the daytime one?
Well, I suppose daytime that was, yes, because not many went out in the daytime, not on something like that. I mean, we never stopped to think half the time. I mean, we came back off one patrol, and one of the boys putting his stuff away in the dugout, where we'd covered them with trees and dirt on top of that, on the roof. All of a sudden, we heard a burst from his brain gun. So we nipped to see what's going on. And he said, there's a snake in the roof. He didn't think about ricochets or anything. I think that was Beasley, I think that was.
The snake's a problem.
Oh, yeah, quite a few snakes. And if you caught a snake, there was large ones. And if you caught one, you'd give it to the gooks and they'd make you a belt out of them. And the day I caught one and gave it to a gook, we moved and we never see him no more. So I never did get a belt. Oh, yes. Some was...
Do you know what types they were?
Some must have been about 3 foot, 4 foot long, some of them were long things, you know.
Were they dangerous snakes or were they just grass snakes?
Well, nobody told us they was dangerous anyway. Somebody shout out snake, we'd all chase it.
What about little deadly ones? You weren't aware of them?
No. If there was anything like that, they never told us.
Any other nuisances, you know, pests?
Oh, rats. Rats by galore.
Now, how were rats? Tell us how they were a problem.
Well, because food, what was about tins and things like that. I mean, I think that is when they give me the infrared carbine. And that was a new weapon with a battery on my back and that. And to try it out at night quite often, I mean, we'd tie a tin on a bit of stick in front of our positions and wait for the rats to come and have one, two shots at them.
So tell me what this carbine was. It was a sniper's carbine, was it?
It was the American carbine, just a normal carbine, and had a telescopic sight on it, about a 3-inch in circumference, and a big battery on your back, and I could carry it all night long. But you could only see clear, I suppose, probably 100 yards, I suppose. You couldn't see much clearer than 100 yards to identify a person. You could do the outline of a person a lot farther away, but to recognise a person, it was 100 yards was the most to really recognise anybody.
And did you use it? I mean, when you tested it, did you use it much, or was it, you know, would you never get anybody within that sort of short? It's pretty short.
Never really used it on that short range at all. It was just handy if you was out listening and you think you see something, you switch on and have a look and see if you can see anything. But I never managed to fire it at anybody, really. Didn't see anybody.
Any other special weapons or things you got while you're out there?
No, I think that was about the main thing. That was the latest thing they brought out. I know we was the first to try out the new clothes out there. I mean, with the screwed-on soles and...
Well, tell me a bit about them. We mentioned some of that about the uniform, but what are these new clothes? Did they come while you were there? Or?
No, we was issued to them as soon as we got there. Very good clothes.
I think we've done a bit about this. Tell me a bit more about them, though, because I don't...
As I said, there was like golfers' clothes. Yeah, they kept the wind out, and they kept the heat in, and somebody said each uniform, what we had, the full kit, was £100. £100. I mean, that was two pairs of trousers, a jacket, and a top coat. And they said that was £100, which was a lot of money in them days, each one of them. But they'd done the job. They kept us warm.
And what about rest camp? I mean, either a local rest camp or going right back to... went back to Japan, didn't they?
Oh, yes. R&R, yes. I had my 5 days in Tokyo.
Well, let's do that first. What was that like? How was it organised?
That was very good. You got there and you stripped, showered, you laid everything out, and when you came back, they issued you with complete new clothes, and it went off lovely to have all new clothes put on. And then they said to you, you're staying at this big hotel it was, you're staying here, and if you want to clear off, you've got to be back at a certain date, which a lot of them did clear off, and off they went, and you never see them no more till the plane was due to take us back to Korea. But I stayed at the hotel, and the girls in the morning, the Japanese girls who used to make the beds, they used to waltz in, no introduction or anything like that. And if you wasn't out of bed, and most slept in the nude, they used to just pull the sheets off, the cover straight off. It used to be quite a laugh.
So what did you do? Did you go drinking or what?
We went to different shows and markets, and it was quite interesting, really. Yeah, I went to one or two shows.
What were the shows like? I mean, the design with soldiers in mind?
There was, you know, that there was all sorts of shows for the troops, really, you know. I mean, there was Japanese ones as well. Didn't go to them because you couldn't understand them.
Did you drink much?
Oh, yes, we had a fair bit, yes, yeah. I think I can keep up with most.
Had there been special pay arrangements so you had enough money?
They gave us our credits, and most of us took all our credits out, is because you didn't know if you were going to come back or not. So you spent quite a bit of money, whatever you had in credits, and bought presents and sent them home while you was out there on leave.
Anything else about your time out there? What did you think of the Japanese?
I thought most of them was very polite. We didn't have no trouble with them, really.
Now, what about local? I mean, that's local, even in a sense. But what about? Did you ever go to one of the rest camps in Korea?
I went to Incheon, and I met one of the boys I went to school with, what was in the Black Watch. So I spent my 5 days with him in Incheon.
And what was the Incheon rest camp like? What did it offer?
Well, I didn't like it all that much, really. It was more or less drinking, more or less, all the time. There was a picture house, go to the pictures. It wasn't all that good, really. It wasn't like Tokyo. Tokyo was very nice. It was just a break. You got away from the routine, and it did make a change. We had.
Did the whole battalion, I think they came out to Pycock Reservoir or whatever it's called for a while on rest, the whole regiment?
Oh yes, the whole battalion came out for a rest. We only came out once, I think, for a rest, and the whole time we was there, we was in the line, as you might say.
And about when you did come out, you went to, it's near Pycock Reservoir anyway, do you remember of that?
Being honest, I can't remember a lot at all. I think we cleaned our weapons and a little bit of drill. Not much at all we didn't do, I don't think. You know, it was just a rest. And we wasn't there all that long before we went back, I know. Yeah, I didn't do a lot there. I think, you know, it's just more or less it was a rest to go back to the line again.
Now, what happens if you're coming towards the end of your time out there? Because, you know, you're only there a certain amount of time.
Well, towards the end of the time, I hit a sergeant, and I had to go...
Now, tell me that story. Why did you hit a sergeant?
He said something about going out on patrol, and I said I'd done 3 on a trot, something or the other, and I wasn't going to take another one or something, and one thing led to another, so I'm very handy with my hands. I hit him. So I was charged, and I went up on company orders, and they said, being it's in the line, it has to be the CO, so I went in front of the CO, and he said, accept my punishment, this, that, and the other, and reduced me to the rank of private, and being I was a corporal, they sent me to B echelon to be a regimental police. So, while I was down there, I was guarding the prisoners in a marquee, and I was playing patience, and I got a Sten beside me, which is always loaded, and it must have been about 1-2 o'clock in the morning. This chap walked in, and in a few choice words, I said, "What do you want?" And he never said nothing, and he walked out, and I turned the guard out, then realised he'd walked through the side of the marquee and want no hole. So I had to go in front of the colonel again, and I explained to the colonel what happened, and he turned around and said that during the Second World War, many cases had been reported on things like that, and he just let it go. He said, just forget it. But a lot of my mates kept saying, had I seen any ghosts lately? And some said it was the cards and that, but I'd recognise that chap today. He was an Australian, he was dressed in Australian, and I could have recognised him just like that.
Now, what did you feel when you were with the regimental police? I mean, that was, what that set you as a poacher turned gamekeeper, what was the idea?
Well, to guard the prisoners and patrol the camp, the B echelon. You had to patrol that, so you make sure nobody got touched any of the stuff that was there. There's a lot of stuff, you know, what comes up to the line there. And we used to do things like that. And I also met another chap who came from the same town as me. And he was a regular, name of Perry. And I got on very well with him. He showed me the ropes because he'd been an RP for a long time. And then when I went back...
So how long were you doing this period, as, you know, as RP?
I suppose only about a month, because we hadn't got all that long to do when they made me an RP. They said somewhere around about a month. And then we came back and...
Well, the regiment came back.
I was sent back up into the line, and the next day we packed up to see about coming home.
Now, how do you hand over in the line? What was the handover procedure?
Well, you got from the next regiment what was taking over. They sent their advance party up and showed them the ropes, the same as when I was up as an advance party. Show them this, that, and the other. And then you pull out 2 days later after the advance people have come up. And for the love of me, I can't remember who relieved us.
So this would be in August.
Yes, yeah. and the battalion was going to go to Hong Kong. But one or two of us, I mean, like Brooks here, there's about 90 of us, I think, that we stayed on board ship.
Which ship were you on?
Exactly the same as we went out on. And the battalion got off, and we came home for demob.
Now, what do you remember about that trip back? That'd be August, September, would it?
Oh, yeah, we picked up some at Singapore, got on the ship for demob, and I can't think where they got off and flown the rest of the way because they'd be late for demob. And yet, we was late for demob because they said we was in quarantine still. So we done an extra 2 weeks.
Anything about the journey, or was it just...
No, just the routine coming home. Didn't do much at all. We got into Southampton, and we got on the train, and you'll be surprised how many absconded when we're going through London and the train slowed down. The Londoners got off, and that was it. We went to Norwich, and I was there about a week at first, and demobbed.
Now, did you ever think of staying in?
I would have loved to have stayed in if I hadn't gone to Korea. But when the target fires back, that is a different life. But in barracks, it was very nice, the comradeship.
Now, what was the demobilisation procedure then? How was it actually done, you know?
Well, we got there, we met Major Holden again, and he had a word with us, especially from his company. He had a word with us, and then we handed all our stuff in. And that was our lot. Off we come. We had to do 3 years TA then.
I'll come to that. Now, did you get was there a demob suit for your career?
No, nothing like that.
So it was just, basically, you just put out. Did you get any sort of payment or anything? Or you just...
No, only our credits, what was due and things like that. And if I remember right, we came home in our uniform. They left us a certain amount. Because we had to join the TA, we could hand it in at the TA. Otherwise, we had nothing come home in.
So when we demobilised, would that be still September?
We got demobbed in... We should have been demobbed on the 2nd of November, 1952. The same day as we went in. In 1950. We come out... I think it was the 15th or the 16th of November. We was late. After quarantine.
Now, what were you going to do when you came out? I mean, did you just go, you were in the building trade, what did you decide to do?
I came out and I started to work for my father again, and...
As a builder?
Building greenhouses, like the Lee Valley, he built most of the Lee Valley, and I didn't like the idea, so I went back onto the building.
And, no, did you ever... Well, that was your lifetime career, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Now, did you have any trouble settling down to the civilian lifestyle? Because I know you'd only been in the army 2 years, but it's a long time at that age, you know, 18 to 20. Did you have trouble settling back to being a normal civilian?
No, not really. But when we done the TA, as I said earlier about...
Hang on, I'll just keep sort of set. I'll come to the TA. But, you know, just business of settling back to...
No, trouble at all. No, I didn't have no trouble.
No trouble with drinking too much in the army?
No. I think what it was, I met my wife while I was on demob leave, and it was the best thing ever happened to me. I had all my luck in one go.
So you got married pretty early, pretty soon after you got back?
Demobbed in 52 and got married in 55.
So quite a long courtship.
Oh, yeah. Go get to know her. The best thing I ever done.